Welcome to the For Those Who Inquired podcast. I'm your host, Edward Marlowe, and I'm lucky enough to have a pretty special guest on this time around. It's not Neil Bradley. We will have him later on this week or early next week, but it's 1987 graduate of Marshall County and current Marshall County boys basketball coach, Jerry Birdsong. Coach, how are you, man?
Hey, Ed, I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you having me on. Looking forward to talking to you. Always love to talk basketball.
No, absolutely. Coach, I just want to go ahead and open up this podcast by saying I was 2 years old when you were a senior at Marshall County High School. So if that's one of my favorite things to do with Neil Bradley when he talks about something that I can't relate to, you know.
It's yeah.
I'm 36 and going on 26 years old. So Coach, I think that's the main thing that I want to bring up is you have such a long and historic career in high school basketball, first as a player, then as a college professional who decided to transfer back to Murray and now as the head coach. What are some of the first things you think about with 500 career wins, which is now at 512 as we talk here on February 4th?
Well, it's hard to remember a lot of details, Ed. You know, just thinking back over the years, of course, you remember your first job and your first win and I've been very fortunate. I've been blessed. God has been very good to me, way better than I deserve. But I've managed to have good health so far, and the jobs that I've had have been I've worked for a lot of good people, continue to work for a lot of good people that have let me do it the way I wanted to do it, the way I thought it should be done. And it's the kids and basketball in general has certainly changed. People say kids haven't changed. They have. And the game of basketball has changed a lot. Expectations have changed. Social media has added a whole nother, avenue in terms of coaching. The 3-point shot, you know, when I played, there was no 3-point shot. They got it the year after I graduated. And just to see how the game has changed, you know, for example, years ago, before the 3-point shot, if you were up six with 2 minutes to go and in the bonus, I mean, the game was pretty much over. And now you can be sitting over there with a 12-point lead with under 2 minutes to go, and you just never feel like, hey, we got this one, because things can change so quick. But that's just a couple things that, you know, and the kids have been great. I've coached a lot of wonderful guys, good players, still in contact with many of them today. And one thing I will tell you, I think that has changed a little bit with kids over the 26 years I've been doing this is, you know, when I first got into coaching, Ed, kids wanted unity. They wanted to wear the same travel suits, the same shoes, the same backpacks. And now, you know, we just live in a world that celebrates individualism a lot, that the kids still do it if you make them. But if you left it up to them, you know, everybody would have their own look, their own style, their own, they would want their own type of shoes, their own different backpacks. You know, that concept of us all being the same is a little harder to pull off now, I guess, than maybe when I first got into coaching.
Sure. And you bring up some really strong points. Just in the 10 years that I've watched high school basketball intently, you know, I even remember as a high school student in Trigg County that this unity aspect, you know, my in 2001, 2002, 2003 with the Wildcats, I remember my friends, you know, who I'd go and watch play at, you know, at Trigg County's gym every night. They would wear, you know, Coach Mike Wright and then Billy Chumbler would make, you know, their players wear a tie, you know, a shirt and a tie and tucked in jeans or pants or dress shoes, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the only individualism part was maybe the pants part. But everybody was going to have a tucked in shirt and a tie on game day, you know, and some of the guys had jackets. So we knew, oh, it's game day. You know, that's why the guys are dressed up the way that they are. So it's interesting to hear you talk about that unity when I remember, you know, gosh, almost 20 years ago now, this is my 19th year out of high school. Even then, you know, unity was a big deal as part of the 2000s, and it's always been a big part. Unity is such a big key of what makes a high school basketball team or any basketball team go.
You're correct, and unity might not have been the right word. The kids now, I mean, they want to win, and they believe in team and all that stuff just like the kids used to. But when it comes to dress and style and things off the court, you know, we do live in more of an individual world. And, of course, we make our guys wear travel suits, and we still do that too, same backpacks, all that. We we give them a little bit of flexibility on their shoes and stuff as long as they're school colors. So, I mean, we try to empower them a little bit, but it's definitely different. It's definitely different. And I think social media, probably what they see on TV, all that stuff has changed a lot over the years too.
Coach, I want to shift gears a little bit. You've already mentioned, you know, you remember your first win. Do you have, before I ask you about your first win, do you have if you say a regional title or more than one of your regional titles, I understand it, but do you have a favorite win out of the 512? I know that's a lot of them to think about in the file cabinet, but is there a favorite win that sticks out in your mind the most?
Well, I think that's a good question, and I would say probably not. I think every win you get in a new job at a new school is big. You know, I've had some years, Ed. I think back to my last year at Callaway, the 16-17 season.
Sure.
You know, we had won 8 games the year before, and we come back in that next season and won the district and won 20 games. And I mean, that was one of the most enjoyable years I've had coaching. Now, as far as games, all 4 of the regional championship games that we won would be up there. I mean, it's just such a and you know, I was fortunate enough as a player to play in the state tournament, and I was fortunate enough to go as an assistant coach with Jeff Jackson. But when you go as a head coach, because a couple reasons: one, you're quite a bit older, and the second reason is you understand how hard it is. You and I have talked about this before, how hard it is to win a regional championship, and
yes.
You know, it's just not easy. You look at the shape of the region over the last 25, 30 years, you know, with consolidation and all the things that's happened, it's just difficult. I'll tell you a quick story. The first time I went to Callaway, 1999, I was sitting in the office with Jerry Ainley, who is the principal at Callaway. Randy McCallum was assistant principal, and deciding
sure.
whether or not I wanted to take the job. And they told me something that I could not believe. Now this was 1999, and Mr. Ainley, who has passed away now, great man, he said, "Coach, we've never won the region." And I got real attentive then, and I started doing the math. I said, "Well, how long have you been to school?" He said, "Since 1960.
Right.
So 39 years. Had never won the region. And, you know, coming from Marshall County, I just couldn't believe that. And I thought, what a great opportunity, you know, because if you come here and don't win it, you know, you're one of many.
Right.
But
absolutely.
If you do win it, you know, you can make history. And then luckily we did. But that just, my point in telling you that story is it shows you how hard, because, you know, for a long time, Callaway and Tillman were the biggest schools in the region. This was pre-Grays, pre-Marshall. Marshall consolidated, I think, in 77,
I think
75
right.
or 77. And, you know, Grays was in 86, I believe. So, and McCracken in 14. So when you think about size-wise, Callaway at one point had 1,000 kids, them and Tillman were the two biggest schools for 20, 25 years. And you think, 15 to 20 years. And you think, man, you thought the stars would have aligned and they would have won it somehow. But that just shows you how tough it is. I mean, it really is tough. You got to have some luck. You got to have good players. You got to have a good night. And sometimes, Ed, one thing I've learned over the years too, sometimes it's not how good you are. It's how good is a particular team in the region in that particular year. You might have your best team, but so might other school, and they're just a little bit better than you. So sometimes it's not always how good you are. It's how good is, you know, how good are the teams you're having to beat.
Yeah, you brought up a great point, and you talk about that parity, and I'll address that here in a minute, just how good the first region is right now, but want to stay close to this 500, you know, career wins. Again, you're at 512 as you approach another local great in Craner Sloan, who picked up 515 wins in 32 years, coached at St. Catherine, Henry County, Caldwell, Trimble, Carlisle, Ashland, Blazer, Betsy Lane, Fort Knox. Those are his stops. You know, walk me through your first win, you know, as you approach Craner Sloan's record and other records as well. Do you remember your first win, and where do you think that it took you from that point to now?
I have to be honest, without going back and looking it up, I'm not exactly sure who the team was. but I certainly remember the feeling. You know, I was at Webster County. I had just turned 27 years old. I'd been an assistant at UHA for 2 years with Jeff Jackson. And to be honest, I wasn't really serious about taking the job. I just wanted to interview and get some experience. But when they called me and offered it to me, and I saw, you know, how good their young kids were, it kind of changed your mindset. You know, you say, I'm not interested. And then when you get a phone call and they actually say, we want you, you know, your mindset changes sometimes. So I went to Webster and had a great 2 years there, met a lot of wonderful people that I still talk to today. Had some success there, had some tough times there too, but it was a great learning experience. But just that first win, you know, you feel kind of, it kind of justifies, hey, maybe I'm in the right thing here. But you quickly realize that may not be the case, because eventually, you know, you lose, and I've lost every possible way you could lose, just like most coaches that have done this a long time. But it's been pretty rewarding.
I actually just found a Paducah Sun report. I don't have your exact first win, but a staff report here that says Birdsong's teams at Webster improved each season over the previous year, 15-11, and last year 22-7, which would have been, I believe, the 96-97 season or the 97-98 season.
Yes, correct. And you know, Trigg, you were talking about Trigg earlier.
Sure.
They won it. They won it my first year at Webster, 96-97. They had Sparks and Mays and all those guys. I'm pretty sure that it was 96-97 when they won it. And then I think Union County won it in 97-98. I may have it backwards, but I think I'm right on that. But anyway, so, you know, I kind of cut my teeth in the second region as a head coach. I stayed 2 years there, and then, Caldwell offered me the job, and my wife was wanting, you know, us to get back closer to this area. So I took that job and had a great year at Caldwell, was content there, was planning on staying. And then, you know, then the Callaway job became open, and Mr. Ainley convinced me that that's where I needed to be. And then, like I was saying, when I heard they had never won the region, I wanted to be part of it. So, but yeah, special times for me. It's hard to imagine that, you know, I was 27 years old. My daughter will turn 20 here pretty soon. And just to think I wasn't a whole lot older than her, doing my own thing and having my own staff. And that's one thing, Ed, I'll tell you too, that's interesting. You know, when you get older, like I'm 53 years old now, when you get older and you start looking around, all the people you're coaching against, your coaching peers, are all young.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird, you know, you have Brian O'Neill's been over at Carlisle for a long time, does a great job. You have Greg Overstreet at Tillman, who's a little older than me, but same, we're both in our 50s. And then, you know, I'm trying to think, looking around the region, most everyone else is, a lot of these guys I coached against when they were playing. You know, Chase Denson at St. Mary, Croft at Mayfield. I didn't coach against Coach Cleaver, but I remember him playing. I was at UHA and
sure,
he played his team. And you just look around, there's just, of course, Berlin Brower's a little younger than me, but he's one that's in my age group too. But you know, you're 50 something years old, you look around and some of these guys night in, night out are coaching, you know, or 28, 29, just like I was at one time. So it's just, like I said, it's just an interesting feeling.
Well, and it's crazy too. You mentioned it's such a small world. You look at who your superintendent was at Caldwell County, Bob Rogers, who's now the mayor of Murray. So it's a small world that we live in, and we all get a small part in it. I wanted to transition a little bit to your actual basketball team right now. Obviously, you've had a huge collection of guys that have all been terrific in their own way. Walk us through what the experience has been like this season. You guys are 15-8, third in the RPI, 6-5 in the first region. You've got a lot of balanced scoring. You guys have played well defensively, especially at key times this year, and you've got some really nice wins. What have you seen out of your squad this year, and what are your expectations now that you have 3 weeks before regional tournament time and district tournament time?
Well, I tell you, our team has – this group of guys we've got now have been really fun to coach. They – of course, we've had Quinn Smith and Kobe Schroeder and Cole Sedlock and Cole Mills and – those guys for a couple of years now in terms of playing varsity, but they give an honest effort every day, and that's something that, you know, you take for granted sometimes. They work hard. They're very coachable. They want to win. We've played a tough schedule. Like you said, we've had some good wins. And, you know, going into this season, you know, we thought we would be good. We thought, and, you know, you kind of get a sense, again, after doing this a long time, you kind of get a feel about your team. And coming out of the summer, we felt like, man, we had a chance to have a really nice team here. And, and some people would say we've overachieved a little bit, depending on who you ask. But we thought going in that we were going to have good depth, and we've got a nice little point guard in Wade Moore, and then you think about moving forward. You know, next year we have all of our perimeter guys back. I think we have 9 of our top 12 guys back. So we have some good young guys too. But just love their character, their effort, their being coachable and teachable, and when you start thinking about it, and going, of course, a lot of this is just my opinion, but.
Sure.
The people I confide in and the people I talk to that I trust, you know, basketball coaches, that very few people can relate to what, you know, what a head basketball coach does, because there's just not many of us. But we all think similar things. You know, in order to have a championship level team, there's just so many things that go in that are not making baskets and the things that people see, you know, just the intangibles. You know, or do they hustle every game? Are they good defensively? Can they rebound? How's their locker room? You know, what are they like in the locker room? They have a leader. You know, and then all those other things. Of course, you have to be able to score a little bit, but you know, all those things I think this team has. We can be a little challenged sometimes offensively, but you know, we've been in just about every game that we've played. McCracken got us earlier in the year by 13 over there, and you know, we outscored them 3 of the 4 quarters. We just got off to a terrible start. And then, of course, Murray beat us at our place. I mean, I'm sorry, Murray beat us at Murray by, you know, 13 or so, 14. And that was one of the COVID games for me. The first Graves game and Murray game, I was out with COVID. So I'm looking forward to playing Murray again. You know, they got a great team, but I feel like we can, you know, we can do some things that will give us a chance. We'll see. But sure. And then, of course, Tillman the other night, we were up 3 at the half, down 1 after 3, and then, you know, the wheels kind of fell off. They made a couple threes, and we turned it over, and you know how that goes. So,
absolutely.
So we beat a good Owensboro team. You know, we beat a good Choctaw team that has some D1 players down in Florida. We beat a Massac team who's beat Grays and beat some other teams in our region. We beat a good Union County team the other night pretty convincingly. So, you know, we have a lot of those teams coming up, and we talk to our guys all the time about, you know, just overcoming adversity. And when you play at Marshall County, having played there myself, you have to be able to overcome adversity. Sometimes you get everybody's best game. They all want to beat you. Someone asked me one time, Coach, you know, when you were at Graves, you had Mayfield. When you were at Callaway, you had Murray. Who's your rival now? And I said, everybody.
Because,
I mean, everybody,
yeah.
Everybody wants to beat Marshall. They always have, and we know that. And not to say they don't want to beat other teams too. It's just saying that, you know, Marshall's been good for a long time in a lot of things, and people like to beat us, and we know that. So I told our guys, you know, you got to play through adversity. You got to be able to overcome things. You got to be able to be comfortable being uncomfortable. You got to be able to handle the pressure that comes along with playing there. So hopefully, as we're moving forward, our guys have embraced that, and now we just got to continue to play better. We hated that we didn't get to play a couple games here, Hopkins Central and Christian Fellowship, because of the weather. But
absolutely.
Now, you know, you just want to play every game you can. The kids are tired of practicing. You have to practice, but you got to kind of change your mindset. So I like our team. I like where we're at. I know that not a lot of people are giving us much shot. And the biggest thing for us and for Murray and for Callaway is trying to get out of this district.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to make a quick mention to you said it there toward the tail end, but you guys don't really have one I would consider a bad loss. 2, you've not been blown out at all this season, not once. In your losses, you lost to Graves County by 1, by Murray, you know, to Murray by 15, to Huntsville by 5, to another Choctaw matchup by 9, which was the second end of that back-to-back there at the Northwest Florida Shootout. You've got a 13-point loss that you've already mentioned to McCracken. You turn around and you beat Caldwell a month after having to play them, and you lost at Crittenden County 58-52 on a neutral floor, which Jay Brown Spikes is a really good player. And then you had a 3-point loss against Callaway, and again, you're looking forward to playing them again on February 11th. So, you know, and then the Tillman loss you already mentioned. You don't have a major loss, and you don't have one where you were just never in the game. Sometimes you get those contests where you're just like, well, we're down 20-0 after a quarter and a half. There's no chance of this game. Like, you've been in every game this season, and you've got 15 wins to boot. So that's third most in the first region. So but I'm glad you brought up the fourth district tournament, Coach, because Callaway is playing some really interesting basketball. They've got some head scratching wins, but some head scratching losses, but some terrific wins. You've got Murray that's 18-3, you know, and played really well. Of course, went to the All A state tournament again, and then Christian Fellowship, you know, which is 9 wins, 12 losses. You can't exactly, you know, go to bed at night thinking, well, I've got an automatic win there. That's not how that works. So it's going to be an interesting district championship.
Well, it is. And if nothing changes, if everybody just wins out, you know, we'll play Callaway first game at Callaway. So we've kind of, you know, losing that first game to them. You know, we had a shot at the buzzer to tie it. It just didn't go in, but you know, they outscored us, I think 11 from the foul line, or I'm sorry, not 11. I'll have to go back. Look, they had more attempts than we did, but they shot it exceptionally well. I think they were about a 60-something% team going into that game. And I think they were like, I'll have to go back and look, but I think they were like 20 out of 25 or 23 from the foul line that night. And we just never could, get over the hump. We had the lead with 2 minutes to go and the ball and the double bonus, and we turned it over, and they ended up winning the game. So we're looking forward to getting another shot at them, getting another shot at Murray. But like I said, and then Christian Fellowship, you know, they're not your typical Christian Fellowship. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's been years when I've coached in the region that Christian Fellowship was really bad, and they're not.
Right.
They're capable on a given night of playing with most teams in our region, with anybody on some nights. That's one of the things about being in the fourth district, Ed, is that, you know, you look around at the other districts, there's no pass to the regional tournament on that second and third place game, you know, district rank, district standings. Second, third, you know, some of these districts, whoever finishes, even if you finish third, even if you finish second, your first, you know, the third team's a long ways behind the top two. But that's not the case in our district. And, you know, for girls and boys, for the longest time, it's always been a dogfight to get out of our district. And this year certainly is no different. We know that we play Callaway again, and then unless something changes, we're going to be playing them for right to the regional tournament. So again, that's the reason we play, though. That's the challenge, and you know, our kids will be ready.
You mentioned that Callaway free throw night. They were 18 of 23. Matthew Ray was 3 of 3. Canyon Franklin was 4 of 4. Zach Hudgen, 3 of 4. And Jonah Butler, 8 of 12. So 78% from
good.
The free throw line. That's pretty good. So,
and we made 20 out of 21, but we shoot, you know, I know we've dipped off a little bit here in the last week or two, but at one point we were leading the state of Kentucky. We were 1-2 for most of the season, you know, at shooting 80% as a team. But the last couple of games we've dipped down, but, you know, that's one thing we've done all year, knock on wood, is we've really helped ourselves at the foul line.
No, and that'll come in big when it comes to district tournament time and regional tournament time. Coach, I got a couple more questions for you. I know you've got some scouting to do tonight when it comes to Crosstown Classic, one of the few games being played across the state of Kentucky tonight. You are a 1987 graduate of Marshall County, and on March 26, 1987, you talked about earlier in the podcast this expectation and this experience of being at Rupp Arena. You were at Rupp Arena on that particular day. It was a big-time game, and just to relive a few short memories here, Ballard edges Marshall as sophomore scores 34. That specific sophomore was Allen Houston, who had a terrific,
yes.
who had a terrific NBA career. Ballard's head coach was Scotty Davenport, who is now at Bellarmine. And you ended up leading the game in scoring your last game as a high school player, 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists on 14 of 23 from the field. What do you remember most just about all of those different things that wrapped around a game like that? Because, I mean, you guys had – Allen Houston ended up putting up almost nearly a KHSAA record in scoring in that particular tournament as they continued to rip off win after win. What do you remember most about that experience that really kind of started your coaching career in a lot of ways?
Well, you know, going into that game, we were thrilled to death that we won the region. You know, when you play at Marshall, the expectations are so high, and we were really disappointed my freshman year. Of course, back then, we only had a three-year high school, 10th, 11th, 12th. So my freshman year, I got to go up and practice with them some. And didn't dress, but I was part of the practices and felt like I was part of the team. They brought me and John Solomon up. John played and I just practiced, but when they won the region with Barry Goheen and that group, in 84. And so 85, 86, you know, we were a top 10, top 15 team in the state all year, according to
right.
the Lichtenhouse, but we just peaked too early. We just couldn't manage not to win it. So my senior year, when we won that regional tournament, it took everything we had, but we won it. And then, you know, we knew that we drew Ballard. Of course, when you're 18 years old, Ballard doesn't mean to you what I would hear when someone says Ballard now.
Sure.
You think he's invincible and everything. So we knew we had a good team. I think we were 27-5 going into that game, and our five losses had been to really Owensboro, who was ranked number one all year. We lost to Louisville Mail, PRP. I think Madisonville beat us over there with Travis Ford and those guys. And I think, I can't remember, the other loss, but we didn't have many. And, from about 84 to 89, Ed, the Marshals were pretty hard to deal with. And,
right.
and, so when we got to the state tournament, a couple of things I remember running out on the court is how big, you know, it just takes your breath away the first time as a high school kid when you run on that floor. I remember the goal looked so tiny and just the gym is so big, but you know, you kind of shake that off because you feel like you belong there. You feel like you've earned it and all that. And then, you know, watching film, I was blessed to play for Coach Hatcher in high school. So we were doing a lot of things back then that we're doing now, you know, 30 years later in terms of film and preparation and that a lot of schools are doing now. So we were very well prepared. We had a great game plan. We felt like I had two teammates, Michael Cross and Jeff Stokes, who were two of the best teammates I ever had. We felt like that those guys could guard him. You know, they had guarded pretty much everybody we'd played and held them under their average or to their average. So we felt like, you know, he averaged 14 points a game going into that game.
Right.
Not 24. He averaged 14. So I guess the same could be said. It was kind of his coming out party against us, and we just could not guard him. You know, I was fortunate to be scoring on our end, but he was just equaling every basket I made he was making, and he was so smooth, and he was just a sophomore. You know, he was 15 years old, maybe 16, and to be able to play like that. And we led, Ed, we led that game for 31 minutes and 54 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and we lost
yeah.
in the final 6 seconds. We were at the free throw line shooting a bonus. We were up one, with, I don't know, seconds to play. And of course, back then you didn't have the double bonus.
Right.
Or we would have been in the double bonus, but we missed the free throw and fouled on the rebound. We had somebody that fouled going after a loose ball, and they went down and hit two free throws and beat us. So it was a great memory, but at the same time, it's always kind of been a bittersweet memory because I felt like if we would have won that game, I think we would have played Mason County next with
yep,
Darren Feldhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we all felt like we would have won that game just watching their team and look at the matchups. And had we won that one, then we would have had Pelfrey and Paintsville. And we felt like we would win that one. And so, you know, just kind of an opportunity lost there in 6 seconds. And I felt the same way. I felt the same way in 2015 when we went at Callaway We had that great team, that 30-win team with Parker Adams and all those guys. We played
as a fun team.
Knott County Central. You know, we won that game. Then we had Owensboro. I mean, we had Bowling Green.
Right.
I felt like whoever won our game with Bowling Green would beat Boyle County the next game. And, of course, Bowling Green did. But, you know, we were up 7 at the half, and the wheels just kind of came off, I think. But, you know, you look, you're grateful, and it's one of the highlights of my coaching career and my playing career is at Rupp Arena. But at the same time, you think, man, what an opportunity that we let slip by. But yeah, it was a special night, and, you know, it opened up some doors for me. Murray State had already offered me and a couple of other schools, and I had about a list of 5 or 6 schools that I was considering. Of course, Murray State was one of them for sure. And then Western kind of got on board after that and just went up there and visited and just really liked everything about it and decided I was going to go there. So that's kind of how that happened.
You brought up the 2015 team, and this is how I'll close out with the last question. I'm going to put you right on the spot here with a tough question. Give me 6 guys in the last 25 years that would be your starting 5 and then your 6th man off the bench, because I know how good that I know how good that 2015 team was, and I know you've had a lot of great individual players, and if you want to skirt the question, I'll allow it.
I'm not gonna pick 6, but I'll tell you I can tell you some guys that I look back and that I thought were really special players. There's been a bunch of them, but, you know, Parker Adams is right up there at the top. That whole team, all those guys. Wade Carter was really good. I don't want to leave anybody out, but that team was really good, the whole
team. They
were. Mm-hmm. I've had Mitchell McClure, who coaches at Callaway. Mitchell was one of the best players I coached. Jimmy Bynum was another really good one at Callaway. Graves, Jesse Anderson, Peyton Puckett, Jake Williams. I mean, I had Mason Beal, had a bunch. Ryan Volk, Aaron Cooper. I mean, we had some really good players. And then, you know, my first stint at Callaway, mentioned McClure and Bynum, but Terry Adams, Chase Futrell was really good. And then, of course, you know, I've had several at Marshall. You know, I think, you know, Tyler Powell, Tyler Stokes. I mean, those guys would have played anywhere. But like I said, I'll tell you, you know, that question can be shaped a lot of different ways. You know, who was the most talented guys I've coached? Who was my kind of player? You know, you look at using a guy like Mason Beal. He didn't have all the stats that some of these other guys did, but man,
sure,
what a winner he was. I've been fortunate. You know, it is interesting. Of course, everyone knows that Zion Harmon played for us at Marshall and, of course, went to Western and all that. But I didn't realize it, Ed, but Zion Harmon was the first player that I had in my 25 years that was a Division I player. So we've had several that have went to college and played, but, of course, we've had some that went to schools that would eventually become Division I schools. But at the time, we've been able to win with guys that just play the game the right way. They're hard-nosed, they're tough, they're coachable, and for us, that's beat talent.
One thing I want to bring up to anybody listening, maybe, and I know we do have several listeners, and we do appreciate that as well, but one thing that I do want to mention, and Coach, you mentioned it before the podcast, apparently the indication is no coach has led 3 different schools to the first region championship game in the first region, and then you're one of just a few that have won it with 2 different teams. So if anybody has any indication as to maybe the historical facts on that, maybe a Jeff Waters or a Joe Jackson or a Brett Larimer, you know, Eric Chumbler, somebody out there that, you know, Travis Turner probably knows, is there another coach in first region history that has won or been to the regional championship with 3 different teams? Let me know. I'd love to hear it, and I know Coach Birdsong would love to hear it as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't keep up with a lot of records, but I'm not really sure. I know 500 wins is something that one day I'll be awful proud of, and And you know, Ed, we've tried to do it the right way. You know, we've tried to do it with kids that do it the right way, and we try to prepare all of our teams the same way, whether they win 8 games or 30 games. And you know, we've been fortunate to get to that regional finals, you know, I think 9 times. You know, we hadn't won them all, but we've been fortunate. Now, regional title, as we talked about earlier, it's just so hard to win because you're playing the other team that's playing the very best basketball in the region. So you're not going to psych them out. You're not going to bluff them out. I mean, you got to beat them because they're there for a reason too. So
sure.
There's no shame in being the second best team, but, you know, it doesn't compare to winning it. You know, second place is, you look back and say, you know, we achieved a lot, but to actually cut down the nets and be the best team in your particular region, it's crazy. It's a crazy feeling, an excitement, and just something that we hope to do at Marshall soon.
My last question for you, Coach. I cheated. I have one extra question for you. Okay. Will you catch Billy Hicks for the overall KHSAA record of wins in the state of Kentucky?
Where is he at?
Billy Hicks coached at Everts, Harlan, Corbin, and Scott County. He coached 38 years and recently retired, I think within the last 2 or 3 years. He has 1,013 career wins. Can you catch him
in 38 years?
Yeah.
I would say no. Because that's 12 years, and I'm 53 years old right now. I don't see 12 years of coaching left. But you never know. Never say never. But boy, you sure have to win a lot of games to equal that. And you know, I'm just thankful, Ed. In all seriousness, I'm just thankful that the good Lord's blessed me with good health and gave me the opportunities that I've had. I've been super blessed. Continue to be, you know, I've put my heart and soul into this career of mine for, 26 years. And I'll be honest. I think if you ask every coach in the state of Kentucky that the COVID has really been difficult. It's been hard to build team unity. It's been hard to build chemistry. It's been hard to stay involved with your kids because it's just been day to day. This year hasn't been quite as bad. So last year was super frustrating. I mean, sure. it was just unbelievable. So it ages you, you know, when you go through things like that, but I still feel good and I'm still happy doing what I'm doing. And I feel like that, you know, we've got a lot of good young kids and we're going to keep pressing forward, but no, I don't see 1,000 wins. I'm tickled to be at 500 and, you know, I know that as I get older, that'll be something that I look back on and with a lot of pride because I've given it, you know, I sleep good at night because I know I've put my heart and soul into this game, both as a player and a coach.
Coach, I appreciate the time. I think that's a good place to wrap it. You've got a big game tonight to go watch yourself with you and your staff. It's Callaway and Murray in the Crosstown Classic. You've been a part of a few of those, and now you get to go watch it. So really appreciate the time. Have a safe drive. And honestly, I'm hoping, you know, if I get a little bit of free time, I may come over. The CFSB Center does play host to the first region tournament, and I haven't missed one in almost 10 years. So I may have to pop over and see how it goes. But, Coach, I appreciate
it. Well, we hope we're part of it. And Ed, I appreciate you and appreciate you know, your interest in kids and basketball and sports in the area. And I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to talk with you.
Anytime, Coach. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you.